This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church this morning, especially if you are visiting with us. We are very glad that you're here this morning and hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you and that you feel welcomed and you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place. One of the ways that we can get to know one another is by signing in on the registration pads that are on their way down the row, hopefully, already. If you would sign in and let us know you were here and be attentive to the names of others sitting on your row this morning. And if there's a name you don't recognize, that's an opportunity to meet someone new. We hope we can all do that this morning. If you are visiting with us and are looking perhaps for a new church home or would like to know more about our congregation, if you go through this door at the end of the service, there's a welcome desk right there, and there will be folks in the gathering area called Andrew Ministers with blue name tags, and they can answer questions for you and show you around the building. Which reminds me that at 9:45 today, there will be a tour of the building. So if you've been a member here a long time and you want to know where things are, it's an invitation for you as well. And folks will gather at the welcome desk right after this service to take a tour of the building. Normally, after the late service, we have a lunch for our college students, but it's fall break, so there will not be that luncheon today. A few other things I want to highlight that are happening during the Sunday school hour, opportunities for you. If you're interested in knowing more about our Guatemala mission trip that takes place in April, there's a gathering in Lisa Guac's office on the third floor, and you can follow the signs to her office and learn more about that trip. If you are interested in perhaps reading scripture during our worship services, we have a training this morning in the sanctuary at 9:45, and you're welcome to come to that and learn more about that. Also, this evening at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Teze worship service, and this week it will take place in the theater because we have a prayer labyrinth set up, and it's already set up this morning. And if you would like to go there during the Sunday school hour or any time between now and 1 o'clock today, the theater will be open for you to pray the labyrinth upstairs in the theater. A couple of other special events coming up. Next Saturday, the 21st, is our first annual Trunk or Treat. And this is an event for our families and children, our preschool, and for the whole community. And we need volunteers and lots of participation. It's going to be a great day for folks around us to see who West End is and to feel invited onto this campus and into our church. So there's a table in the narthex if you'd like to sign up to help. And then on next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, we have our choral evensong worship service, which is also a wonderful thing to invite friends to and a great way for our community to know who we are as West End. So I hope you can come to that. As we gather for worship this morning, we continue walking through the parables of Jesus, and this morning we find ourselves in the middle of a very difficult parable. So I invite you to open yourselves, your minds, your hearts, your lives, to enter into this parable with me, and to trust that even though it is a difficult one, there is a word for us, a word of hope and love. So let us open ourselves to this hour of worship and to this story together in this place.
Thank you. invitation of Christ. God welcomes all with hospitality and love.
May we find family, home, and hope in the love of God.
As members of the body of Christ and inheritors of Jesus' gospel of grace and love, we turn humbly to God and confess the ways in which we are prone to squander such a great gift. God, you welcome us with hospitality and love, but we have not embraced you with our whole hearts. We allow ourselves to be driven by fear, desire, and bitterness, instead of loving kindness, generosity, and peace. Teach us how to walk your path. Let us learn to respond to your invitation, to live life with us, and to know what it is to be redeemed. Accept Christ's gifts of overflowing and unending forgiveness. Thanks be to God who welcomes everyone and leads us in the way of love. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see those guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God.
How many of you have had a birthday party before? Yeah, I've had a birthday party or two or three in my life. Now, this story that we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew is a hard one. It's a challenging story that Jesus told. But one of the things it made me think about was parties and birthday parties. Can you imagine what it would feel like if you decided who was coming to your birthday party and you sent out invitations to all these people to come to your birthday party and nobody came? And you had all that good cake and you had the snacks and the little gift bags to give to everybody and nobody came? That's sort of what happened in this story. There was a king who put on this great party and the people he invited didn't come. And that made me think about how much God wants us to come to God's party. It's like the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like this wonderful party, this feast that God has put on and has invited everybody. And it's our choice to decide, do we want to go to God's party? How about if we say yes to God's invitation to come and be part of God's wonderful celebration? And how about if we invite others to come too? Let's pray. Gracious God, life with you is meant to be joyful and a big party and a celebration because you love us and you love everybody. Help us to say yes to you. We want to be part of this wonderful party that you're throwing for the world, and help us to invite others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. As your children are going back to your seats, I should probably tell you that I had to pray long and hard about that children's message. In fact, I consulted a book that Nancy Jones shared with me earlier in the summer when she found out we were going to be doing a lot of Jesus parables through the summer and fall. She shared this book with me, and it's a book about parables. It's made for children. And the author has chosen 6 or 8 parables with wonderful pictures and the house built on sand and rock and the Good Samaritan and the woman who lost her coin. And so when I read this parable for this Sunday, the parable of the wedding banquet as told by Matthew, I looked in the book and it's not there. Surprise, surprise. This is a parable that doesn't seem suitable for children, does it? At best, it's a PG-13 parable. It has a lot of violence and revenge and retaliation in it. It's a parable that makes me a bit uncomfortable and uncertain as to what Jesus is trying to say. It's a story that really just doesn't make sense. There's a king whose son is getting married, and the king is putting on this incredible feast, this wedding banquet. It is a royal wedding. And those who have been invited aren't interested in coming? Who would say no to a royal wedding? This is a once-in-a-lifetime party. And to someone who has the privilege of being invited inside the home of the king, I mean, in Jesus' day, weddings didn't just last a few hours. They lasted for days. And this would be days on end of feasting, maybe the only time in the year that you would have a chance to eat meat and drink good wine. Why would anybody say no to that kind of invitation? So that piece of it doesn't make sense. And as if to make it more confusing, some of those who were invited to the party actually murdered the people who issued the invitation. What? What in the world is that about? What's going on in this story? And the king is so angry that these people have rejected his invitation that while the party is ready, like, you know, while the beef tenderloin is being taken out of the oven, he sends troops to go and destroy the guests who were originally invited and burn down their city. Not just killing them, but perhaps Everybody in the city? Innocent people? What? This doesn't make sense. And to make matters worse, at the very end of the parable, once all these people have been pulled off the streets to come in to the party, the king finds one man who's not wearing a tuxedo and kicks him out into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is plenty in this parable to disturb us. And it's tempting to just not talk about it. And I'll be honest, this is my first time to preach this parable. It's in the lectionary, and the lectionary gives us three other scriptures to choose from, so we could go with the psalm or any other scripture that's assigned for the day. Or we could just choose the parable as it appears in Luke's gospel, which is a lot easier to understand and to take. The other temptation is to read this parable and just gloss over all the hard stuff and pick one little point to highlight. But see, I know y'all are smart. And if I did that, you would come through the line and shake my hand after the service and say, yeah, but what about? Yeah, but how do you explain? So I figured we needed to receive this parable as it is and wrestle with it together. And I confess to you from the very beginning, I do not have easy answers to this parable. But I do believe that it is scripture that has been handed down to us through the generations. And we are to read it together and wrestle with it and bring all of our questions and our trouble to it and trust that there's a living word in there that God has for us. So let's roll up our sleeves together and bring all of our questions and all of our trouble to this parable and see what God says to us this morning. I think as we walk into this parable together, one of the things that I react to, and I think perhaps you do too, and when we were in Bible study looking at it together this week, we all reacted to it, was the idea that this king in the story somehow acts like God would act. The king in some ways is meant to be one who reveals God. The king issues this invitation to celebrate the wedding of his son. And yet the king acts in ways that don't seem consistent with God as we understand God. That God would respond violently to those who reject the invitation, that God would punish and send out to outer darkness. We look at this story and we bring to it some tools that we have. And one of those tools we have is the lens of Jesus. And we examine this parable by looking at it through the lens of who Jesus is. Jesus who said, love your enemies. Jesus who said, pray for those who persecute you. Jesus who said, do not answer evil with evil, but answer evil with good. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Jesus who said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus, who could show mercy and love to those who rejected him. Not like this king. So we bring that with us. And we remember that in other parables Jesus told, there were landowners, there were other characters that represented in many ways the God of the universe, but whose every action wasn't consistent. You remember the story of the persistent widow who prays and goes to the judge repeatedly and says, make my cause just, give me what is my due, and she goes to the judge and she goes to the judge. And Jesus says, even though the judge didn't like people and didn't respect God, eventually he granted her request because she bothered him so much. And it was a lesson about being persistent in prayer, but I don't think we're meant to understand that God is like that judge who is annoyed by our prayers. So in the same way, I think we need to look at this parable through that lens of who Jesus is, what he taught, and how he lived. Another tool we can bring with us as we dig into this parable is looking at the parable from other sources. Now, some of you know that the Gospel of Mark, most scholars believe, was written first. And Matthew and Luke had Mark in front of them, probably, as they wrote their Gospels. And there were other written sources of Jesus' teachings and healing stories. They were passed down orally for many years until people eventually started writing them down. And so when we find a parable like this one, we can look for it in other places. And it shows up in Luke's Gospel, the parable of the wedding feast, where the guests who were originally invited rejected the invitation. And the host of the party ended up inviting everybody on the streets to come in. Similar parable, but without the violence, without the retaliation. And so it makes us start to ask, well, what was going on in Matthew's community? Why might Matthew have told the story this way? And as we look at what we know about these things, we believe Matthew was writing in a time and to a church that was being persecuted by the Pharisees and by the religious leaders. And so a lot of his parables, the way he tells the stories sometimes, are tinged with this conflict and give us insight into what was going on in his time. And so we have this tone of anger and warning coming through this parable that may be part of Matthew's experience and how he chooses to tell this parable of Jesus. So a couple of questions come to mind as I listen to this parable and as I chew on it with you. One of them is, it's very clear in this parable, the way it's told both in Matthew and Luke, that there's an invitation given to all people. That God is hosting a feast and is inviting everybody, good and bad, it says in Matthew's parable. But it matters how we respond. It matters whether we accept the invitation or not. The invitation has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Will we respond and come to the party or not? It also matters, according to this parable, that we don't just show up, but we accept the party on God's terms. You know, the guy who shows up at the end and doesn't have a tuxedo on? Back in Jesus' day, when you went to a wedding, the host provided the wedding garment for you. So it's not that the host didn't like the dress code that this guy was showing, but that somehow this guest chose not to dress like the host wanted him to. And underneath that is perhaps a message that when we accept the invitation of God in Jesus Christ, we take on the identity of Christ. And we are called to live and act in ways that show that Christ-likeness to the world. So not only are we called to accept the invitation, we're called to live it out in every way that we can. The parable also raises the question for me, how do we tell this story? Do we talk about the invitation and the love of God for all people with underneath it a threat of retaliation and fear? Or do we tell the story in a way that invites people to this wonderful, abundant life and relationship with God through Jesus Christ, a God whose arms are always extended in hospitality and love? Let us take responsibility for telling that story to the world, that the world might feel welcome to this feast of love to which we are all invited. Amen. You have come here today to celebrate the feast of God's abundant love for you and for all. And part of what we do every Sunday when we gather for celebration and feasting is to profess our faith in this God of hospitality and love. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our creed found on page 882. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we want to lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards that you'll find located in the pew racks, and you can put that in the offering plate when it comes by in a few moments. Please be sure to indicate if you would like it to be kept confidential or you're okay if it's shared. We offer our sympathy to Cheryl and Alan Patton and their family who are mourning the death of Cheryl's mother, Mildred Cruz, who died at the age of 99 on Monday, October 9th. Services were held on Friday. We also want to offer our sympathy to John, Elizabeth, Liam, and Lucy May McGuire, who are mourning the death of John's father, John O. McGuire Sr., who died Thursday, October 12th in Asheville, North Carolina. And we are still waiting to hear information about when the services will be held. As we pray together this morning, when you hear the words, "Hear us, O God," you're invited to respond with the words found in your bulletin, "Your mercy is great." Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Let us pray for the needs of the world, saying, "Hear us, O God, mercy is great." That in all our community may know what is God's and what is Caesar's, and may have the courage so to live. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. That God will guide our country, its leaders, and its citizens. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. That justice and peace will be the signs of our trust in God. Hear us, O God. That the church may preach the gospel not merely in words, but in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, O God. That each of us, following Jesus, may be truthful, courting no one's favor, but living with simplicity and honesty. Hear us, O God. That all the people in the church may live their faith and labor in love for the poor, the homeless, the imprisoned, the persecuted, and the sick, those recovering from hurricanes, earthquakes, flooding, and fires, that they, by God's power, the suffering of all creation, may be relieved. Hear us, O God. That wherever there is violence, we may be enabled to confess our part in allowing this darkness to continue. We have shut our eyes to the bruises and shut our ears to the cries of fear and pain. That your healing may come to all. Hear us, O God. That we may remember with gratitude the witness of those who have kept the faith. Hear us, O God. Into your hands we place the well-being of all creation, trusting that you see and know the needs of all. Now hear us as we now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because God has given you a great banquet, let your thanksgiving overflow with joyous giving for the sake of others.
we go from this place rejoicing. The kingdom of heaven is like a feast, and you have been invited, and so has everyone else. May we go and bear that good news and wear that good news wherever we go. In the peace and name of Jesus Christ, amen.